All right, I think we are live. Hi, everybody. It is Tuesday afternoon. We are here with a, I guess you'd call it an emergency live stream. I don't know if emergency is quite the news, but we've had another high profile firing or perhaps resignation. It's not 100% clear exactly what has happened, but there's somebody leaving the Trump administration, and that somebody is the FDA commissioner Marty McCarry, who has been sort of an important secondary player in HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s attempt to MAHA-fy the federal government and the United States of America. Let's play a real quick clip here of the president. He was just asked about this moments ago. Cat's out of the bag. Marty McCarry leaving the administration. Here's the president.
Did you ask Marty McCarry to resign, sir? Or did you fire your FDA
commissioner? Well, I don't want to say, but Marty's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He's a wonderful man. And he's going to be off, and the assistant, the deputy, is taking over temporarily until we find. Everybody wants that job. It's a very important job. Marty's a terrific guy, but he's going to go on and he's going to lead a good life.
He's going to go on and he is going to lead a good life. All right. This is a pretty important political news and pretty important from the point of view of a lot of different fights that are going on in HHS and within the Make America Healthy Again and the Make America Great Again, different constituencies and all this different stuff. Very happy to be here talking about it with our chief policy guru on all healthcare matters. I believe senior national correspondent is Jonathan Cohn's title. He writes the Breakdown newsletter. Catherine Rampell writes receipts. He writes the Breakdown newsletter for us on healthcare policy and other policy, and got a lot to say about Marty McCarry and just this weird moment that we're in with MAHA in general. So Jonathan, can you just start by kind of walking us through? I mean, this is not necessarily a household name type guy as far as these various Trump administration figures are. How'd he get in here in the first place? And what, when he was in government, was kind of his? How did he fit into the RFK? Dream team that he had going over there.
Yeah. So McCarry, he's a surgeon by training, did cancer surgery, gut surgery, was at Johns Hopkins, did a lot of research, fairly well-respected guy and name, somebody very serious academic and practitioner. Had done a lot of work on medical errors, had gotten interested in policy. He was, I would say, part of the cohort that during COVID, there was a lot of physicians who suddenly, became, sought after for their expertise. You saw them all the time. And there was kind of a group of them who really kind of became outspoken critics of the public health measures that were being taken. And everyone was different. Maybe they thought there was over aggressive on the masking or on the social distancing, or maybe thought, certainly as time went on, most of the sort of credentialed physicians were all in favor of the vaccine. As time went on, I think there were some who were like, should we still be recommending it for everybody? That's the ongoing debate we're having. Because he was part of that universe. And for various reasons, we can talk about some other time, like how much of that was because of the right wing, how much that was because of the way the left wing reacted, whatever. When Trump got reelected and was looking to staff his administration, and he turned to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., became famously Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kennedy, kind of came in with and brought in with him a kind of constellation of people who could run the federal agencies, who somehow shared that sort of sense of grievance. And I really think that's important to realize that when you look across the sort of Kennedy realm, the Kennedy regime at HHS, there's some variety there. There are people with different backgrounds. Some are, pretty well-credentialed scientists, some not so much. But if there's one common element they all have, they have this sense of grievance. They thought the public health measures went too long. And they typically have a sort of sense that they were ostracized. And many of these people became very active online. They were posting all the time on social media. And of course, that just reinforced their affinity with Trump land. And so that is how McCarry found his way to become the commissioner of FDA, which is a super important job.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little strange. I'm curious what you make of this, because when all these guys were starting to be bandied about, when RFK Jr. is kind of putting his gaggle of sort of junior HHS top officials together, I almost felt like some of these guys who were just sort of like heterodox COVID types, like it was almost a relief when he would pick one of them for one of these top posts, like a guy who came by that sort of contrarian streak and built that kind of contrarian reputation honestly, as opposed to just being some guy who came up in like vaccine injury circles or something like that, right? Which there are also a number of people kind of close to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or even just, you know, more sort of kooky holistic health types like the Means brother, Callie and Casey Means.
Callie and Casey, yes. The Means, yes.
Yes. But so I kind of felt early on like, you know, maybe this is one of these guys we won't have to keep as much of an eye on. And I don't know to what extent that has been true. I think he has come under a lot of fire from a lot of different directions, maybe some for good reasons, some for bad. But there is no question that like this is a firing that has been building for a while, just in terms of him constantly finding himself sort of caught between different factions that want the FDA to go in different directions. Can you just walk us through kind of, I don't know if you just want to go laundry list or you know, fast money style or whatever, but like what were some of the things that this guy was having to kind of struggle through and wade through at HHS?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're right about sort of, you know, him being one of the more seriously credentialed people. And that's not a coincidence that that would happen at FDA. You know, FDA, it's a regulatory agency, right? They have so much power and so much influence over a very powerful industry, the American drug industry, food industry, right? I mean, there's this massive amount of money tied there. And so there's if you think about it, you put yourselves in the minds of an administration taking over, when you're staffing the FDA, when you're picking an FDA commissioner, and this is true for any administration, you're going to hear from all these stakeholders. And there's going to be a lot of demands to have someone who's serious, who can do this. Is not a job where you can have someone who can't make the trains run on time, or at least knows what they're doing or is somehow credentialed. So there, you know, McCary was seen as somebody who was more serious, a bit more of a heavyweight. And the hard part about being FDA commissioner, and again, this is true for every administration, is that all these stakeholders are constantly pulling at you for wanting different things. They want faster, you know, the drug industry wants faster approvals, but they want them to be solid approvals. You know, they don't want, it's in the drug industry's own interest to sort of keep out flawed drugs that are gonna be dangerous because it hurts their own reputation. You know, you have public interest activists pushing on either side. And then of course you have, you know, all kinds of political issues that intersect the FDA on everything from, you know, recreational drugs to abortion, and all of that, it kind of comes on the FDA commissioner. So even under the best of circumstances, the most capable FDA commissioner is going to be dealing with these different constituencies. In the case of McCary, he really got tripped up on a series of these. So you had a couple. First of all, there was the usual, how fast are the drugs being approved? You know, one of his calling cards coming in, one of his slogans was, the FDA was too beholden to medical dogma and needed to move more quickly on certain kinds of drugs. And then once in office, there were complaints from both, some who said he was moving too fast on some who said he was moving too slow on some. There has been this ongoing controversy, and we're dealing with it right now in the Supreme Court, about the abortion pill. And the FDA has been promising a review of it. That review has now been put off until after the midterms. He was getting a lot of pressure from anti-abortion groups that this wasn't moving more quickly. You had that controversy going on. He did intersect and deal frequently with the vaccine agenda from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. There were just reports recently in the New York Times, the FDA had forced FDA's own scientists to withdraw publications that had been accepted by peer-reviewed journals that has showed vaccines to be safe. And that got him a lot of flack from the large number of people who approve of vaccines, which, by the way, is a lot of Republicans. You know, Kennedy's own agenda has now become controversial within the administration. So you had that. And then on top of all that, you had this controversy over vaping, which was kind of, where basically, you know, there's been this push to sort of, should vaping companies be able to push flavored vaping? There's a concern that that will sort of be alluring to children, get them, you know, minors, get them addicted. And what was so interesting about that, and really typical of how complex this whole situation is that this was a case where the career staff at FDA had basically signed off, said, yeah, we think this is safe. These vaping devices are going to come with age devices. Does this sort of protect against kids using them. And McCary was overruling them and saying, I don't think so. Meanwhile, the White House was pressuring because Trump had you know, was taking the side of the vaping industry. So McCary was getting squeezed on both sides. And, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, there was so much going on here. There's so many cross pressures, but at least some of the reporting suggests that, in fact, it was the vaping thing that finally got Trump to act on McCary, who, as you said, has been on the hot seat for, I mean, that was a seriously hot seat. I mean, people have been talking about him being on the way out for weeks. And really, in the last 2 weeks, there have been a number of stories that he was basically, Trump had signed off on his departure. It just hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it is death of a thousand cuts in a lot of different ways. And I want to talk about that more in a minute. Before we do, I should real quick cut to an ad, which I'm actually, now that I think about it, I think is actually somewhat of a topical ad, because I'm pretty sure it's ZocDoc, but I'm not reading it. It's going to be Sam. So let's cue that up and then we'll talk a little bit more about this.
This message is brought to you by ZocDoc. We all know that health issues don't follow the 9-to-5 schedule. With ZocDoc, having no time to book a doctor's appointment is actually no problem. So when you don't have time for yourself until 11 p.m., or you cut a finger making a midnight snack, been there. Or if you're doom scrolling and panic about your symptoms at 3 a.m., definitely been there. Go to ZocDoc.com anytime, 24/7, and find a doctor you love to make your health plan happen, even if it's way after hours. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone who you love. And folks, I love using ZocDoc.com. Yeah, I have two parents, both of whom are doctors, but they're retired now. They're getting a little old. They can't diagnose as well as they used to. I need real professionals, so I turn to ZocDoc.com for that. Stop putting out those doctor's appointment and go to ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. Thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this message.
Man, what a pro. I should say again, I said it right at the top. Nobody was hardly on the stream yet at that point. I'm Andrew Egger, White House correspondent for The Bulwark. This is Jonathan Cohn. He writes our breakdown newsletter on healthcare policy and policy in general. We are talking about the firing or perhaps resignation, a little bit unclear, a little bit woolly in that department today, of the Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Marty McCary, which was news of that came out just a little bit ago. So we're here reacting to that. Jonathan, you were just talking about the vape controversy and him being kind of squeezed, particularly getting himself crosswise with the president on wanting to keep this ban in place on flavored vapes. But I also wanted to go back to another thing that you alluded to, because this was my first reaction when I saw this news, and I'm curious what you make of this, that this had also a lot to do specifically with this abortion fight, because we have been seeing a lot of headlines in just the last week or two of you know, the pro-life movement, social conservatives who are anti-abortion, who have been sort of a really important core component of the president's base, certainly going back to the first term, a little less so now. There has not been a lot of sort of abortion policy basically since Dobbs, basically since the decision that ended Roe v. Wade, restored states' rights to ban and regulate abortion within their own states. Since Trump became president, in the wake of that decision, he has kind of slow pedaled basically anything that would be like have to do with federal abortion policy. But one big exception to that has been this question of this abortion drug. And now that I've come to say it out loud, I know that I don't know how to type it, but I'm not 100% sure I know how to pronounce it. Mifepristone, or I'm so sorry.
Mifepristone.
Okay. It's been controversial. There's this basically. The pro-life people have been champing at the bit and kind of getting extremely impatient, honestly, with okay, you say you're a pro-life administration. When are the use of this drug has exploded, especially since Dobbs. You know, it can be mailed all over the country. It can be mailed into, you know, any of these states that now ban abortion. So it's just really easy to continue to get abortion pills, even if they're illegal in a given state. And they have been pushing the FDA to essentially revoke the ability for doctors to prescribe it without a clinic visit, without a face-to-face visit, which is what enables the mailing, right? It would be much harder to get if you had to go see a specific doctor, presumably in your state, or at least drive across a state line or something to get those pills. And And the White House has not known how to deal with this, right? They've been trying to kick the can down the road. They've been asking the courts not to rule on it. There's been this reporting that McCary, with the White House's blessing, or at least their tacit blessing, has been, you know, slow walking this review that is supposedly going to inform their decision about what to do with that authorization. And you know, pro-life groups have been getting madder and madder about it. And they've been getting louder and louder about it, too. They've been talking, you know, very, very openly starting to talk about Trump's the problem here. Trump's policies not acceptable to us. Just this last weekend, there was a kind of quiet but a real meeting with a lot of these pro-life leaders at the White House. They one thing that has come from this is that the White House rolled out over the weekend this moms.gov website, sort of talking up, you know, these crisis pregnancy centers that are important to the pro-life movement. These sorts of you know, places where pregnant women who don't know whether they want to abort or not are going to these places and basically they try to counsel them to keep their baby and you know, try to give them some help here and there. So the Trump administration has been pushing on that in one respect, but the other respect seems to be, at least plausibly so, that Marty McCary, who is a scalp these pro-lifers have been calling for quite some time, I mean, they seem to have gotten it, right? Or am I maybe reading too much into the connection between these two things and the timing here?
Well, so I would say I don't think anybody knows for sure, except maybe people inside a handful of people inside the administration. I would sort of separate out into two parts. There's like, how has the FDA been making its decisions about the abortion pill? And we don't know that part. Because in theory, FDA is like supposed to be operating as an independent agency. It's not supposed to have the president, you know, looking over its shoulder, or, you know, and the commissioner's not supposed to be sort of using political judgment to impose on what the career staff recommend. Now, there's always some politics involved. And, you know, obviously, you know, how those firewalls are breached sometimes more than others. But in this administration, we've routinely seen them breach. And there's no, you know, it's sort of assumed that there's sort of a political agenda at work. And it's just a question of how hard it is. But given all that, you know, I personally, I've always sort of thought it was a little, I mean, I don't know where McCary is on this issue. And, you know, if he's being a good FDA commissioner, he is actually trying to always balance whatever political agendas being forced on him. And he's supposed to be responsive to his career people also, and like trying to channel them and listen to them and maintain their independence. But I gotta think he's not making this decision on his own, clearly. And whatever decision he's being made is being made, as you said, at least with the blessing, if not the, you know, of the White House, of not being dictated by the White House. So I you know, the idea that McCary is the problem here, I find a little hard to believe. I mean, he might be part of the problem, but I can't imagine he's the problem. Having said all that, what I think is pretty clear, and you alluded to this earlier, is that when you get into these fights, you know, and you're getting cross pressured on this, you need people to back you. You need someone to come out. You know, you're on the hot seat. You're in controversy. You need people to rise up and say, "I want this guy to stay in his position, or this woman to stay in her position." And he's got nobody. I mean, you know, and not only does he have nobody, but, you know, one of the most powerful groups in the Republican coalition, as you know, is the anti-abortion groups. And, you know, they're not going to stand. They see him as part of the problem. So, I mean, that lack, you know, having sort of groups of people who are angry at a decision you made is a surefire way to get yourself fired when you get into trouble, even if you didn't make the decision, simply because he doesn't have a constituency to stand up for him, to fight for him, to back him up when the pressure is on.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to reiterate, I think I alluded to this before, but we're not just sort of speculating about the possibility of like real political interference here. I mean, it has been reported. I think it was Bloomberg maybe that broke the story in December or so that there were actually people inside the FDA telling them that it was actually specifically the directive to sit on this reassessment of the, you know, safety of this abortion pill until after these midterms. So, I mean, that's a pretty clear like linkage between those two things, between the political salience of the issue and the prospects for the party in power, and them basically saying we would much prefer we're going to have an unpopular decision that's going to make somebody mad here. We would like to keep this stasis in place until after the next like political retribution point is safely past us. Again, that it's not completely out of the question that reporting was overblown or overstated or misleading in one way or another, but that is reporting that has come out of this FDA pretty consistently for a number of months here. But another thing that you alluded to, Jonathan, that I think is pretty core to all this is the question of whether getting rid of him actually solves any of these problems. Because it kind of seems like a lot of these are actually pretty deep coalitional problems, not just for Marty McCary, but for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and for Donald Trump. I mean, there's all of these weird fault lines between, you know, MAHA and MAGA that came together as a political constituency in 2024 that have now been shown to be very difficult to operate together in practice when the president wants to, for instance, loosen regulations on various tobacco products. Or are vapes a tobacco product? Nicotine products, at least. I guess I don't know whether, right, yeah, whether that's tobacco. But or, you know, weed killing chemicals. We've seen these sorts of fault lines come up, right, with Roundup in the past. And it's the same thing with abortion, right? I mean, it's the same thing where really these groups don't necessarily just have a problem with Marty McCary. They have a problem with the way Donald Trump has been dictating this policy. But it's a way for Trump to kind of, at least in the short term, signal to all these groups, yeah, we're hearing your concerns and maybe things will change in the future. We're going to give you one scalp. We're going to get some other guy in there. But it's not that clear to me that this actually is going to go any direction towards solving any of these problems. Am I wrong about that?
No, I agree completely. Look, I mean, these are hard jobs. FDA commissioner is always a tough job and requires a certain skill set. You know, if you think about what makes a successful FDA commissioner, and this would apply to lots of positions in the executive branch, right? I mean, there's a managerial set of skills, just, you know, basic blocking and tackling of, you know, running an agency. It's a large organization. You have to be a good manager. There's what you were just talking about, that balancing of coalitions, because the FDA commissioner is always going to be getting whipsawed from here and here and up above and whatever. And that is a tough balancing act. And then you need an administration that's either going to just let you kind of do your thing and stand behind you, or have at least a kind of clearly defined set of objectives that are consistent with what the agency is founded to do, and you can go in that direction. They haven't solved any of these problems. And I would even go further and say, you know, you look at FDA right now and, you know, post the DOGE cuts. I mean, it is an agency that's reeling. You know, Scott Gottlieb, who was at FDA in the first Trump administration, very, you know, Republican, very well respected across the political spectrum. A serious scientist, was on, I think it was CBS this week, and he had some numbers. I think he said that the reviewers who do oncology in the oncology division there had been 100, now it's down to 50. And there's numbers like that across FDA. And that's all because of DOGE and the cuts to the federal government that Vought, you know, through OMB ushered in. This is an agency that is reeling. That is just, it's like, you know, struggling just to get through the day. And there are people still working there doing heroic work, the career people. It's a hard job, doing the best they can. But, you know, this is an agency that's in trouble. It requires someone who knows what they're doing. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the position the administration has gotten itself into. But because, you know, and again, this is not unique to FDA. It's not unique to HHS, right? I mean, this is across the administration, but they were such a limited universe of people they were willing to pick their appointees from, because you had to share certain beliefs. You had to have that kind of, you know, and in the health sphere, you had to have that sense of grievance. And if you think about, number one, that's a small group of people. Number two, you're selecting for a certain type of person who, let's face it, likes to be really online, likes to be a bomb thrower, which sometimes is important to have in our system. You know, it's certainly important to have a vibrant debate. And, you know, you want contrarians out there. You want people in the media, you know, looking at things from different angles. Not always the best person to run an agency.
Yeah, it's good to have, you want like a third in command contrarian figure, right?
Right. You know, having a McCary, like, kind of, you know, advising, serving on an advisory committee, you know, and, you know, great, you know, have that kind of someone to ask tough questions, be a pain in the ass to, you know, honestly, that's a good thing to have intellectually. Not always the best person to run an agency. And, you know, you've gotten rid of him, but, you know, who's, you know, we have a temporary, someone's going to fill in who's running the food division now, but this is just not a recipe for running this agency well. And FDA has to work. FDA is an important agency. I mean, FDA falls down on the job. I mean, it has real immediate impacts on things like drug safety, the approval of new medications, you know, and let's not forget, we're like in the middle of an outbreak right now. I mean, hopefully not like a pandemic style outbreak, but we are in the middle of this. And, you know, one of our biggest public health, most important public health agencies is without a leader.
Yeah. And one thing that I maybe didn't even fully wrap my head around until you mentioned it earlier before this call is, this is not just the FDA. I mean, there's this weird something's going on with HHS in general, where I don't know whether Donald Trump has somewhat lost his complete confidence in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or whether he just thinks it's not very politically helpful to have him front and center on a lot of things right now. But there does seem to be some kind of new rift that's there between the White House in general and HHS, rolling out this healthcare mission. But then even within HHS, you know, McCary is not the only now absent top level guy. I mean, there's a number of these top posts that are vacant or somebody's there in an acting capacity. Can you just kind of talk about the kind of overall generic situation at HHS these days?
Yeah. So we now don't have a permanent FDA commissioner. Centers for Disease Control, CDC, hasn't had a permanent director since August when, Kennedy pushed out Susan Menares and Trump fired her. Those are your two of your most important public health agencies right there. And the senior levels at these, agencies have also been cleaned out. So CDC, for example, all the senior advisors are all the career people have either left or were fired or transferred out. You've seen an exodus also from FDA. So you're dealing with a situation where we have lost a whole layer of senior leadership. And again, quite apart from their politics, quite apart from, whether you agreed with them or not, these are just the people who knew how to turn the lights on, right? Knew the procedures, knew how to make these agencies operate. And again, you need CDC to work. You need FDA to work. Even if you hate the way CDC behaved itself in some past episode, COVID, whatever, pick your whatever, you do need someone to be able to investigate outbreaks when they happen. You need someone to be able to dispatch the health workers to do the testing. And these agencies have been depleted. They have lost their expertise. They have lost their most seasoned hands. And they, and they're being run by a Secretary of Health and Human Services who, by the way, embodies all of this, right? I mean, here's a guy who also doesn't know how to run an agency, who is also extremely online, loves to be a bomb thrower. And there's really no signs that he knows how to run an agency. So, we're just sort of adrift here. And it's kind of scary when this is the agency that's in charge of our health.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep following this. We will find out, if there are future developments in who's running the FDA and who's running the CDC and what's going on with Donald Trump Jr. and with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Donald Trump Sr., the president of the United States. We'll be right here to talk about them. But I think, Jonathan, we can leave it here for now. Thanks for coming on and talking us through this again. I'm Andrew Egger with The Bulwark. This is Jonathan Cohn with The Bulwark. We've been talking about the firing, the ouster today of the FDA Commissioner Marty McCary, who Donald Trump sent off with some well wishes and some nice things to say, and a little bit of an implicit don't let the door hit you on the way out. Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks to you all out there for following along and watching. Hope you will subscribe to The Bulwark's YouTube channel and head over to Substack as well. Go to thebulwark.com, sign up for Jonathan's newsletter on healthcare policy, The Breakdown. It is excellent. A lot more where all this came from. We'll see you all next time. Thanks for watching. So long.